This is Nature Notes, our look at the natural world in West Texas, from the prairies of a Llano Estacado to the borderlands of a Chihuahuan desert. They were revolutionary findings, delivered fittingly in a city in revolt. In 1796, at a Paris conference, the French anatomist Georges Cuvier presented his analysis of the so-called Ohio animals. These American fossils were elephant-like, but Cuvier showed that they were, in fact, the remains of vanished animals, mastodons and mammoths. It was the first proof our planet's fauna had undergone dramatic changes through time. Following Cuvier, paleontologists have since traced the epic story of evolution and extinction, with fossils as their guides. Yet, how do bones become fossils? Why do some bones get preserved while others don't? The science that studies that journey from dead animal to fossil is called taphonomy. And Dr. Rachel Laker of Hanover University says Big Bend National Park is an ideal place to practice it. From Marfa Public Radio and the Sibley Nature Center in Midland, this is Nature Notes. I'm Dallas Baxter.
We're using fossils, but I really don't care who it is or what it did or anything like that. I just want to know how it preserved. All I care about is that it's bone.
Big Bend has a world-class fossil record, and its fossil-bearing strata include the Aguja Formation. These 70 million-year-old rocks have yielded Tyrannosaurus, duck-billed dinosaurs, and more. They reflect a very different Big Bend. This was then the swampy edge of the Western Interior Seaway, which at times split North America. Some of the Aguja rocks were created in a shallow marine environment, others in a river delta. Hiking and backpacking to Aguja outcrops across the park, Laker finds tiny fossil shards. With taphonomy, she glimpses their story, how long they were mixed on the seafloor, or exposed on land before being sealed and buried.
It's not like, you know, perfect clear cut. Like, I can tell that it took 20 years for this bone to get buried, but I can distinguish bones that underwent like really long amounts of reworking and like shuffling versus bones that were like one and done.
Because for a bone, death isn't the end, but a beginning. It may be scavenged or trampled, swept away by stream or storm, waterlogged or desiccated. Looking at tiny fossil slices through a microscope, Laker sees where microbes tunneled into a bone to feast on its organic matter. Eventually, the bone was buried and underwent diagenesis, becoming part of a sedimentary rock. It's nice to think that when we're fossils, we'll all be in the same thin layer of rock, the poets Jim Harrison and Ted Kooser wrote. And indeed, in thin layers of marine rock, Laker has found bones that may have been tumbled together across tens, even hundreds of thousands of years. And unexpectedly, she's also found bones of terrestrial or dry land origin in marine deposits. It's a bit of a mystery, but it may reflect dramatic mountain building or other geological processes here. To clarify what happens to bones as they bleach and weather on dry ground, Laker has expanded her study. She's examining contemporary bones, primarily mule deer antlers in the park, to understand how the decay process unfolds in a hot place. She'll compare that to bone decay in colder locales. As much as scientists have learned since Cuvier's lectures, our understanding of the Earth's history remains partial. Geology and paleontology are key tools in unlocking that story. But taphonomy, Laker says, can reveal nuances of the planet's changing life forms and landscapes.
So not all the time does sediment tell the whole story. It's sometimes erased, sometimes it's missing. Sometimes we don't have much to go on in terms of like how these bones all ended up in that spot. I'm hoping to ask the bones themselves.
This episode was written by Andrew Stewart. I'm Dallas Baxter. Thanks for listening.